Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle of drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the priests. Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever.
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight, right here around the world, on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. We've got a great program for you. Want you to stay tuned. We're going to go to part two of the creation factor tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Genesis cycle connection. We're going to hook it up for you. We're going to show you some important discoveries a little bit older than what most Bible people believe. We'll be right back when John brings us in. Yahweh bless you. Call a friend.
Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. Virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and 10 pounds. When a man comes around.
Great song. Send it out to all the dedicated believers in the great and the magnanimous name of Yahweh. It is time for us to go right into part two of the Genesis cycle connection tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there is a people that live in the China province on the Himalaya high mountains, and they tell a marvelous story about their appearance in the earth. These people mission to Earth. Now, they tell this wonderful story, if you can believe it, and they're anywhere, they're pygmies. They're almost what we would call pygmies. They're very small people. They've interbred with some of the surrounding Indians of that era, but they are 2 feet, 1 inch, up to 4 foot, very small people. A full adult, some of these never get over 2.5 feet. It's amazing. And they tell the story, or the stone that they revealed, that they've been here for 18,000 years. That their spacecraft crashed, and their DNA not matching any of the people that has been cross-matched with their DNA adds some credibility to their fabulous story. Now, they say 26,000 years they visited Earth, and 18,000 years on a mission, their spacecraft from another planet crashed. Now, they have a stone, and it is common only in the cobalt, if you're familiar with cobalt and the atomic system of things. This stone is cobalt, and it's called the Dashkin stone. And believe it or not, when the anthropologists went in here, they judged, along with the scientists that went in with radiocarbon dating, they judged this stone to be between 120 million to 500 million years. That's incredible. Again, with the learned scientists, and no one has ever refuted it in the aging process that have examined, and it's been examined by several professors at universities and experts, 120 million is the least of their copying and dating, up to some estimated to be at least 500 million years. It was found in the Ural Mountains of Bashkar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Earth, believe it or not, is much older than man has determined it to be. Now, I don't know whether you believe that the Earth is older than the biblical account. And you say, Pastor Buddy, isn't the Bible true? Yes, it is. But you see, again, it says that one day with Yahweh is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So we're going to talk about the polar years tonight, and we're going to get into the scriptures and give you some information that perhaps that you have not been privy to. Hopefully, it will help you to understand some of the things that we need to tell you. Now, the Bible itself will tell you that every 7-year cycle that you rest, just like he rested on the seventh day. Now, we told you last night that the first four verses dealing with the Bible, the first two in particular that we dealt with last night, we'll deal with the other two, that there's a span of time that seemed like has escaped the translators, and instead of putting in a polar year, they just said that a day passed, and included that the creation of the heavens and the earth were only 6 days before he rested. ended on the 7th. Well, every 7 years, you get new sales. That's a fabulous bit of information, and very timely for you that need to renew your life and your cells and your body every 7 years. The body cycles through a new phase. For the eighth day, or the beginning day, is the new beginning, and Adam was indeed, after these eons, where we find that the Bible says that the earth was in darkness and chaotic conditions, and you cannot measure time if there's no light and darkness to contrast, so you can get an accurate measurement. Now, we always measure in our modern scientific way. We measure with scientific instruments. The ancients, they measured just as accurate, and sometimes more accurate, because the 13-acre edifice in Egypt, the pyramids, the 13 acres, imagine this now, 13 acres of stones, of 2.5 million stones that weigh over 2.5 tons, and they are over 2 million of those stones. It's incredible. It's called an altar in the Bible. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 19, it says an altar will be built to Yahweh. This is a mathematical precision measurement device. It's a code, if you will. It's the anchor stone of the two stones that we're going to talk about in the next couple of hours, if we get to go maybe into Monday night with this series, and we don't know how far we go, but we're going to continue on. And every 7 years, the land rests. Now, this is a cycle. We're talking about the Genesis cycle, and every 70 years, the law is to be read to Yahweh's children or his family. Now, every 70 years, it rests, and that's the Jubilee cycle. Now, 7 times 7 is a golden Jubilee. And we're going to talk about the polar motion of the earth, which is, if you will, a living entity. It is actually our home away from home. Now, let me say that again. I just got the Holy Ghost feeling, chills of delight ran up my spine. I'm a stranger here. I don't know about you. But our earth is hurling through space. And on its journey, we're coming closer to the inevitable day of reckoning. Now, the Bible says itself that time will be cut short. Now, how do you do that? You speed up time. You reduce time in lifestyle or life manner or age to lessen the incarnations of the physical beings that are coming into the earth. That means you shorten time by speeding it up or speeding your life up. You ever think that time is just flying, you don't know where it went? How little you got done? Well, that's because we are on a spinning electric ball of dirt. Just like man that's created from the very dust. He has a limited knowledge of the great mysteries of the great mathematician in the heavens, and we're on a spinning ball of electric frequency energy. The earth is spinning in a vortex. And the true value of a degree as it spins is 3 degrees, 36 minutes, and zero. 3 degrees and 36 minutes and double zero. Spiralvolutes is a word of a spinning vortex, a volute. The scientists call it a volute. It within itself, it spins a web of energy. The earth is no different from its poles. There is great magnetic frequency with you individually at this point, we would have to say that Yahweh knows his children from the foundation where your name was on his clipboard. There is a spiritual clipboard in the hands of the man from Galilee. He knows his family. And to his family was he sent. And to his family, he gathered sheep around and turned them into mighty men of power as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, this electronic gravitation of the great pull of the strangers and pilgrims on this wayward spaceship called Earth, hurling through space at an amazing speed toward our final destiny. We're getting closer every day to the appointed day that we shall all, the family of God, stand before him to be judged with the deeds done in our body. Now, that judgment starts right now in your life. After you get home, and all Israel will, all of the Israelite sheep that are sheep are going to make it home to the greatest, most spectacular place that you have ever seen. For the eye have not seen, and it's certainly the ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve him and pursue him as a thirsty deer would pursue the water brook. Oh my, if a man believe on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you ever get thirsty? Do you ever really want to know what happened in Genesis chapter 1? Do you actually believe that, like I do, that the earth is much older than what our biblical religion bell boxes are impounding our ideals and our thoughts? They capture them and put them in a box to cause us to think in terms of religion. Yahweh wants you to think outside the box in terms of spirituality, for the Spirit draweth. And except his Spirit draw you, you are indeed none of his. Ladies and gentlemen, the carnal mind is not subject to this great gravitational power. And right through the heart of the earth, it's just like a giant stick pin that is pressed from the North Pole downward to the South Pole, running north to south. There is a vortex of spinning energy with a value of 3 degrees. Now, this 3 degrees is how much motion or how much time or revolution that we go through in a polar year. We're going to get into a little bit more, because each volute is equal to 3 degrees, as I said, and it adds up when you do the 3 degrees, and three is the building blocks of the universe, and three again is another sacred number, and six is the number of man in 36, as in 36, and just so happens to be that there's 36 constellations in the heavens. Isn't that strange? There is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is the Spirit. The Word was made flesh. That was God, Yahweh, in a flesh body, come to the earth to visit, to set his feet and his gravitational pull to set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed, as it come out of the mountain and ran down the faults. These are the heightened faults of man as he ignorantly worships God. And whatever a man seems to be great, it's an abomination to Yahweh, simply because man tries to climb up some of the way, and in doing so, he makes himself to form more a child of God than he was supposed to be. survey of a series of interlocking caves. Now, these caves, some of them have not even been open to the public. No mention of what went on in there. But deep in these caves, they found something spectacular. Their interest, having been heightened and excited by the discovery of lines of neatly arranged graves which contained the skeletons of what must have been a race of human beings. They appeared to have spindly bodies and large, overdeveloped heads. Now, I want to ask you a question. When the serpent race that is mentioned in the Bible, when they came to earth and started mating with earthlings, these little spindly bodies begin to appear. Now, that was a curse put on in Genesis 3:14 upon the serpent race. And these little spindly bodies with large overdeveloped heads, at first it was thought that the caves had been the home of a hitherto unknown species of apes. Oh my. Well, the devil reminds me of an ape, but listen. But as the species seemed to bury its dead, they were forced to eliminate an ape race because that is unheard of. While studying the skeletons, one of the members of the team stumbled upon a large round disc half buried in the dust of the floor of the cave. Now, this dust proved to be very, very old as they were taking samples, but the disc itself looked like an aged record of some very different, or under, they couldn't understand the writing upon this disc, but it was written in such a way that they knew that there was an intelligence behind the writing upon this great stone, and there was a hole in the center and a fine spiral groove that is continuously spiraling line of closely written characters. No one understood the meaning of the message. The disc was labeled and filed away among the other artifacts of the area, and for 20 years, many experts in Peking tried to translate the disc. And finally, Dr. Tucson Nua broke the code and started to decipher the speaking grooves. The Peking Academy of Prehistory forbade him to publish his findings. Oh, I wonder why. In 1965, 716 more groove stones were uncovered in the same caves. Oh my, 716. They told the story of a space probe by the inhabitants of another planet who came to the Baya Kara Yura mountain range and crashed landed. The peaceful intentions had been misinterpreted, and many of them were hunted down and killed by members of the Han tribe who lived in the neighboring caves. They referred to themselves as the Drupa. They said that they came from the clouds in their spacecraft that had crashed in a remote and inaccessible mountains that there was no way for them to repair or to possibly rebuild a ship. And we're talking about these stones, which are reputed to be anywhere from 150 million to 500 million years old. Can you believe this? It's almost impossible for us to wrap our minds or our thoughts because of our limited and boxed-in conditioning over the ages of man, who is reluctant to accept anyone greater than himself, and especially anyone more intelligent. And yet, here we have the facts of our learned scholars vision, as they related it, spoke of these small, very gaunt, yellow-faced men who came from the clouds long ago. The men had huge, bulging heads and puny, little, frail bodies. They were so ugly that the natives of the area feared them and hunted down what they could and killed. This description is similar to the bodies found in the caves. On the walls of the caves, archaeologists found crude pictures of the rising sun, the moon, unidentifiable stars, and the earth all joined together by lines of pea-sized dots. The cave drawings have been dated around 12,000 years, much older than the story of Genesis, as we relate to the chronology and the time as we have interpreted falsely, I believe, and I think we're going to prove that before this series is over, that the earth is much older, and that we perhaps were visited prior to Adam man, who we're going to find up and bring him into the picture, as the saviors. These are the redeemers. These are those who were chosen by Yahweh as a peculiar people, introduced just recently, less than 6,000 years ago, if we go to the chronology of the Bible, if we take a day in its relationship. But before that Adam came, we want to dwell on the great span of time. Even before time was measured by the sun and the moon, that these little Gopra people had grown, hoping that they would be rescued at some future excursion of their family in the heavens to return and to rescue them. There was 120 of these when they were discovered in 1965. Now, one of the walls of the caves area is still inhabited by two semi-troglodyte tribes known as the Huns and the Dropas. These tribes are odd-looking in appearance. They are frail, stunted in growth, average only less than 4 feet. Some of them typically are 2 feet and a half. And none of these are Chinese nor Tibetan in the region, and their DNA has not matched any DNA known to any species of humans upon the earth. In Russia, they tested several of the rocks, and their discs were found to contain large amounts of cobalt and other metallic substances hitherto unknown to man. When placed on a special turntable, they vibrated or hummed in an unusual rhythm as thought an electrical charge was passing through them. If it was as formed as some part of an electrical circuit, they actually look sort of like disc, like a CD disc with holes in the center. And the professor of archaeology at Beijing University was leading some of his students there on an expedition to survey a series of interlinking caves in the Himalayas. And according to one account, the caves may have been artificially carved. They were so precisionally laid out that it reeked of an intelligence other than a natural cave by nature. Now, the walls were squared and glazed, as if cut into the mountain with a source of extreme heat. Inside the caves were several ancient but neatly arranged burial sites and the skeletal remains of a strange people, the skeletons measuring a little more than 4 feet, with these frail, spindly, and Professor Chi of Tu is reputed to have responded, "Who ever heard of apes burying one another? Yet, what kind of a human is this?" they asked themselves as they continued their discoveries. More discoveries were made in further in the caves, but all ruled out the idea that these were apes. On the walls were carved pictograms of the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, with lines and dots. Then the team made the most incredible discovery of all. On the cave was this odd stone disc fashioned by hand of an intelligent creature. The disc was approximately 9 inches in diameter, 3/4 of an inch thick. In the center was a perfectly round 3/4 inch hole, and etched in its face was a line of grooves spiraling out from the center of the rim, making the disc look for all in the world like some kind of a primitive phonograph record. This one plate, dated to between 10,000 and 12,000 years old, older by far than the great pyramids that I mentioned previously. This was fantastic. But the wonder was multiplied manyfold in all of the 716 such plates, and each held an incredible secret. The groove, upon further inspection, was not a groove at all, but a continuous line of strange carved hieroglyphics, which equals writing. The tiny, most microscopic characters were in a language that man had never encountered before. And it wasn't until 1962 that another Chinese scientist was able to decode the message of the stone plates. Now, this message, ladies and gentlemen, was incredible. If you believe that our Earth is only 5,000 plus years old, we haven't even come to the 6,000 year mark if we go to the genealogy downline from Adam. But should we count from Adam? And I believe the answer to that would be a resounding no. What kind of disc is this, he wondered. He knew of its recent history, how it was discovered in 1938 by Chinese archaeologists in a cave high in the Himalayas, along with the other 715 similar deaths, now buried with nearby were the skeletons of a strange tribe. He knew all that. He also knew that the deaths, as remarkable as they were, had been simply labeled along with other finds of the expedition and stored away at the Beijing University for over 20 years. Now, during that time, others had attempted to decipher the strange inscriptions, but without any success. Now, in 1962, the professor painstakingly transcribed the characters from the disc to paper. The writing was so small that he had to use a large, powerful magnifying glass to see it clearly. But the stones were very old. He had it in his mind that they were perhaps 12,000 years old, and much of the hieroglyphics were difficult to make out or had been worn away by time and the elements. As he worked, many questions nagged the professor. How did these primitive people fashion these precise stones? How did they manage to do the almost microscopic writing upon a stone of the nature of cobalt? And why would they hum when they were laid in man's presence? And who were they, and what was the purpose of these hundreds of stones? Once the characters were transcribed, Dr. Tusan Nui began an arduous task of trying to decode its message. Eventually, he began to make progress. Now, a word emerged, then another. A phrase became understandable, and then an entire sentence. He had broken the code, and he discerned that the message on the stones were written by a people who called themselves the Gupta. But what they were saying to him 12,000 years later made no sense at all. What the Gupta had written must have been one of the cultural myths or some fantasy or as part of some prehistoric religious ceremony. What was it? When he had completed the translation as much as he could, the professor sat back in his chair in disbelief. The story of the Gupta related has nothing short of astounding effects upon his life. How could and how would his colleagues react? How might the world react if the story was true? The professor wrote a paper of his findings and presented it to the university for publication. The reaction was swift. The paper would not be published. The Academy of Priestry expressly forbade him to publish or even speak of his findings. I think that's a world for you. Here is one of the most fantastic archaeology finds that the earth has ever known, and yet he was forbidden to publish. However, just 2 years later, they relented and he published the paper entitled The Grooved Script Concerning Spaceships, which, as recorded on the disc, landed on Earth 12,000 years ago. And by some accounts, the Academy relented and gave the permission, and the other accounts he published in despite of the official ban. In either case, his translation and his theory were met with ridicule by the archaeology establishment, and he was laughed to scorn. The translation was just too shattering to be taken at face value. How could anyone been here 12,000 years ago? How could the stones be 150 million to 500 million years old? Of a substance that is rarely unknown to man. It just could not be true. It would change everything we know about our history and humankind's place in the universe. We can't believe or accept the Gupta disc. It tells the story of a space probe from a distant planet that crash-landed in these mountains 12 to 18,000 years ago. The occupants of the spacecraft, the Gupta, found refuge in the caves of the mountains, and despite their peaceful intentions, the Gupta were misunderstood by members of the Helm tribe who were occupying the neighboring caves, and they hunted these aliens down and killed some of them. A translation of one of the passages says that the Gupta came down from the clouds in their aircraft. Other men and women and children hid in the caves 10 times before sunrise. When at last they understood the sign language of the Gupta, they realized that the newcomers had peaceful intentions. The stones go on to say how the Gupta were unable to repair the disabled spacecraft and could not return to the home planet, and so they were stranded on Earth. Now, if it's true, have their descendants survived somewhere in the heavens on another planet? Today, the isolated area is inhabited by two tribes of people who, in fact, call themselves the Gupta and the Hun. Anthropologists have been unable to categorize either tribe into any known race. They are neither Chinese nor Tibetan. Their DNA doesn't match any known DNA of anyone on the earth. Both tribes are pygmy. Adults measure between, like I say, 2.5 feet to 3 feet, and some to 6 feet and to 4 feet and 7, with an average height of 4'2", and their body weight of 38 to 52 pounds. They are yellow-skinned with thin bodies, disproportionately large heads, corresponding to the skeletal remains found in the caves in 1938. sparse hair on their bodies. They have large eyes that are not Asian in aspect, but have pale blue irises. Supposedly, there is also an ancient Chinese tale that might bear out the Agrippa's claims. The tale relates the story of a small, slender, yellow-skinned people who descended to the earth from the clouds and who were shunned by everyone because they were so ugly. In 1968, the Agrippa stones came to the attention of W. Satchu, a Russian scientist who republished the findings and conducted tests on the disc that revealed some very peculiar properties. Physically, the granite stones contained high concentrations of cobalt and other metals. It was a very hard stone indeed that would have made it difficult for the primitive people to carve the lettering, especially with such minute characters. When testing a disc with the equipment, a surprising oscillation rhythm was recorded, as if the scientist said that they had been electrically charged or had functioned as an electrical conductor. And whatever their true nature, origin, or meaning, the Agrippa stones present an intriguing puzzle for archaeologists and anthropologists. Were the Agrippa truly visitors from a distant planet? Do their parents exist in the heavens? Or is it their story just merely a creational myth imagined by a primitive culture of unknown DNA origin? If the latter is true, it adds one much more myth to the large number of stories from ancient cultures that claim their descendants came to earth from the heavens. And if the former is true, the Agrippa stones could represent the first recorded visit of an alien civilization. And for now, the Agrippa stones remain a great mystery. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my question to you, how could the earth be much older than the Bible would relate to? How is it that we have been made to believe that the earth is only less than 6,000 years old? How is it that we've made to believe that the 4 days before the light system of measurement of time, that no one talks about that? In all of my years of ministry, I have never heard anyone talk about the days before the light system of time to record. There is eons of time, possibly, that transpired. And then, by that, ladies and gentlemen, we could have what is called a very, very incredible tale of what is known as the Agrippa people. Those who from heaven came, they look very strange. They look like they have bodies that have been ravaged with genetic dysfunction. Was the account in Genesis in chapter 3, verse 14, did Satan produce what is known as the people of Cain, who, if they were found, that the earthlings would kill them? Were they hidden somewhere? Or were they assisted by the starships of the serpent race to leave here, or to go into the interior of the earth and hide themselves for the time until time is appointed? We know something happened. The curse went upon the seed of the serpent. Now here's another account. Well, I don't have time to get in this last account here, but we will get in that come Monday night. And this is a 3D map of the earth that was created 120 to 500 million years. I can't wait to share this with you. It is going to really fascinate you and to promote you or to provoke you you down and held you back to let you know the great mysteries of Genesis. In particular, I have studied probably perhaps for 50 years the third chapter of the book of Genesis. I've related, I've cross-referenced it, I've searched the Hebrew and the Greek in its application to words associated with the third chapter. And ladies and gentlemen, both the Hebrew and the Greek accounts trace back to a sexual transgression of the mother of these special people that came into the earth around 6,000 years ago. And here we have the others. We have the black race. We have the yellow race. The anthropologists will tell us that man has they have found skulls that go back 2 million years. We have dinosaur tracks with man trailing the dinosaurs in Texas that will go back over 60 million years. Ladies and gentlemen, it's incredible that somebody has forgot to remind us that nothing is new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. Now, the Volute. We have in the astrological system of the universe the precession of the equinox. And this precession, ladies and gentlemen, is equal to each Volute. And that's a precession. It's equal to 3 degrees, like I said, in 36 minutes and 0 seconds. In true value, plus 25,920 years it takes for just one tick of the astrological clock, or the universal clock, or the clock of Yahweh, the clock of the universe. And in 25,920 years, that's the time it takes for the precession of the equinox to go through one cycle. In true value, plus 25,920 Earth years, that is required for the pole to complete a spiral orbit, and there are exactly 100 of these spiral orbits in a complete orbit. In other words, in a complete circle of 360 degrees, there is 100 of these 25,920, which would give us what we call, and the ancients said, as they taught in their mystery schools, long ago, that it equaled one polar day. Incredible. One polar day equals 100 solar years. Or the first day, as said in Genesis 1. Now, can you dig it, as the master of defense over in Bryson City would say, can you dig that? Ladies and gentlemen, this is almost beyond your digging ability. This stretches the mind to the furthest extent of its area of faith. Remember, I told you in the book of Hebrews that Yahweh created everything by faith. Now, that was something that wasn't visible. You couldn't see it, tangibly touch it, feel it. So the first 4 days are the spoken events, or the unspoken events, by faith in darkness. There's no light until the fourth day. Now we have what is called a volute of 25,920 years for the first orbit, and we have 100 of those, which would equal 2,552 years to make up one polar day. Now, can you comprehend it? Can you? 100 of these spiral orbits in a complete orbit, therefore 100 times 25,920 Earth years equals 2,592,000 Earth years, which period is termed by the ancients as one polar day. Incredible. day equals 100 solar years, or the first day, as said in Genesis 1, the word polar was not written in the book of Genesis, but it should have been. But the people that wrote, and they had no idea of what this was, and the incredible span of time that spanned across the universe while the spirit, Yahweh, in a flesh body, eventually would become a flesh body. But this is the great spiritual heaven and earth can't contain him. He dwells in this body, and the Godhead, he's the fullness of it, according to Colossians chapter 3. And so, 2,592,000 years, and math is the language of the universe displayed by the altar that was built in honor of the great mathematician of heaven, the Ancient One. Why do they call him ancient? Well, he's only 6,000 years old when he done this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think maybe that you might need to refigure your math, because the time has come that the Bible says that men will not endure sound doctrine, but will teach to them the self teachers having itching ears, and for filthy lucre they will lie to the people who love to have their ears tickled. Now, I got to get out here. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi, which yesterday was covered with around 6 inches of snow. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Certainly can't be global warming, because the South has suffered. And tonight, I can relate to you that it has been reported that there is snow in all of the states of the United States tonight. Snow in every state in the Union, with the exception of Hawaii. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something's going on. So I'm sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, the great state of Mississippi, and we would love to hear from you. If you appreciate Mark and Audrey sponsoring our program tonight, what you've heard, just call Pastor Buddy tonight. That's 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me tonight, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. And if you would like to request this series, just request the creation series of the Genesis Factor, and we'll get it right to you, ladies and gentlemen. Just say creation series. That's fine. So, we love you tonight, and we appreciate you, and our time is all come and gone. I'll see you Monday night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel with part 3 of the Creation Factor. We're going to talk about the poles, the hums, the precession of the equinox, the great time shifts. Don't you think Yahweh's ancient? Don't you think that he's been around a while? The surprising thing is, you just might have been too. Nothing new under the sun, but what is to be has already been. We're coming back to center, and the spaceship Earth hurling towards its destiny to meet the great ancient one. I love you. I'll see you Monday night. Yahweh bless you.
Into the potter's ground. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wild wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down.